AE5YC monitoring. QST, QST, QST. This is the Courage Center Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet. My name is Herb. My call is Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie, and I'm located in New Orleans, Louisiana, or a suburb thereof. This net is devoted to technical discussions. If you feel like just stopping by and saying hi, you're more than welcome to. But if you've got any questions, comments, hints, tips about any technical topic, antennas, radios, etc., then we're happy to have your participation. Before we begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Emergency or priority traffic, go ahead. Nothing heard. Very good. We're glad of that. Should something arise while the net is in operation, please get our attention any way you need to. A double break or a priority or anything you need to do to get our attention, then do it, and we will bring the net to a halt, either render what assistance we can, or we'll get out of the way while you get the assistance that you can on your own. I noticed that Phil, KD0ETQ, my trusty backup, is here, and one of the mainstays. I believe Phil has made every TechNet, and one of these days we'll get a plaque out there. So before we get started, let's make sure everything's going good with Phil, and so I'm going to pass it over to you, Phil, for any comments that you might like to bring out first. So KD0ETQ, this is Net Control, AE5YC, Herb down in New Orleans. How's everything going up in St. Louis there, Phil?
Oh, well, good evening, Herb and everybody else. It's KD0ETQ. Well, it's going pretty good. We had a cloudy day. We got up about 52. I think it's around 50 now, and next 4 or 5 days is going to be kind of wet off and on and stay around 50, and then beginning of next week, look like we're going to, Monday may only stay in the 30s with some light snow, so might first get our first little taste of winter. Nothing terrible, but well, we've had not a year. I remember the year I got married, 1973. I got married in November, and that next month, December, we had the most snow ever in December. We had 26.5 inches of snow in just the month of December, 73, but haven't had any months, many months like that since. I remember that in the late 70s were really cold, but winter's been pretty good around here, so not much else going on. Like I said, I'm here to back you up, and if you need to take a break and head out, I can always pick it up. Back over to you, Herb, AE5YC, KD0ECHO, Tango, Quebec.
Yeah, fine business, Phil. I think we've had the conversation before. I was in St. Louis in the mid to later 70s, and I remember really bad winter. Actually, I remember at one point coming out of my apartment, and the snow was so deep that we didn't know whose car was whose, so we took turns taking brooms and then shovels, digging cars out of the parking lot until we had freed ourselves. Although the city was shut down, they actually put it emergency order in effect that if you were caught on the street without studded snow tires or chains, that you would be ticketed because there were so many stuck vehicles. Gotta love that weather. Alrighty then, let's get right to it and see if we can get a technical discussion going. So, without any further ado, again, this is the Thursday Night Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. My name is Herb. My call is AE5YC, and we're taking check-ins and topics. Go ahead.
Hello, Delta Zero. Papa Tango, Mike.
All right, we got Kilo Delta Zero, Papa Tango, Mike. I recognize the call, but forgive me if I'm not putting a name to it, and I'm just being too lazy to look back through my log and see. But good evening, welcome to the net. If you would give me your name, and if you brought a topic to the table, a question, a comment, hint, review, or if you just want to say hello, let us know what's going on in your world. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Herb. This is Joe, Juliet Oscar Echo in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And not really much going on, just kind of taking it easy, waiting for that lousy white stuff to come around. We're supposed to get some, I don't know when, that's, I guess it's in Dakotas right now. It was raining, snowing pretty heavy there, and it's headed this way. So they said we're going to get some maybe tomorrow or Saturday. But, well, you know how the weatherman is. He'll say there's a 50% chance, so if it does or it don't, he still wins. But other than that, not much going on, Herb. Just sitting back, taking it easy, and checking into the net. We'll turn it back to you, Herb.
Yeah, fine business, Joe. Appreciate you coming into the net, and hang around, because you never know, someone might pose a question that you have just the right answer for. So this is all about what everyone brings to the table. And careful now about the weatherman. We got Phil over there, I don't want to point any fingers, but I'll just leave it at Phil. The weather, I feel bad. I don't even want to tell the weather. I had to have the guy come out today to service the air conditioner, and it just clicked off a second ago. It's been balmy and a little bit of humidity, kind of foggy in the mornings, but nothing approaching winter weather. Do have the Christmas tree up, but that's about as Christmassy as it feels around here. All right, Joe. Again, thanks for checking in, and hang around if you can. I hope my audio is all right. If not, please let me know, guys. I had to have a little procedure done, and they had to go in and punch a little hole in my lung, and so I have to keep my my wind down lower, so I've got my audio settings cranked up, and I have a tendency to run out of air. It's going to take me a few days to bounce back. So if you're having trouble hearing me, let me know, and I'll see if there's something else I can tweak up. In the meantime, let's look for another check-in. This is the Thursday Night TechNet, and my name is Herb, AE5YC, down here in the Big Easy, New Orleans, looking for check-ins and questions, comments, hints, tips. Bring us your technical issues and lay them out on the table and see what the group has to say, or let us know the pearls of wisdom that you've got through blood, sweat, and tears. It's your turn to check in.
Alpha 5, Echo Zulu, Quebec. KF5, CQB.
All right. A couple of local boys in there. KA5, EZQ, Rick, from way down south there in the Bell Chase area. And KF5, QQB, Eric. Two good friends from the local New Orleans area. Eric's in Marrero, which you might as well just say another suburb of New Orleans. Now, Rick's a little farther, but not too far. You just got to go over two bridges from here, actually through a tunnel and over a bridge, but not to Grandma's house. Let's go to Rick and see what Rick's got to say this evening. Good evening to you, Rick. It's been a little while since we spoke. I'm sorry I haven't talked to you, and I'll say the same thing to Eric at the same time. Sorry, guys. I've been out of pocket letting the doctors poke and prod on me there. So sorry I haven't been in contact too much. But how are things going down there in Plaquemines Parish, Rick?
Not too bad at all. Things are fairly nice and warm. No snow on the ground. For down here, snow on the ground would be rather dangerous, considering how far south we are and how few people down here know how to drive on snow. After all the years I've been away from it, I've probably forgotten myself. I think I'll just stay parked in the driveway if it does start snowing. But with 70-plus degree weather, there's no worry about that. So, yep, we're here, we're doing, and trying to get things done, getting antennas put up, various solutions both here for the local EOC and other things. A couple other people getting helped out. KA5EQ, back to that.
Oh, good deal. Your radio sounds great, Rick. I have to tell you, beautiful, clean, clear, quiet signal, not a speck of noise. Sounding great. I can tell you must be at the house because that's just a perfect signal. You sound good mobile, but man, that bass is really doing the job for you. And I know I've missed a couple of at least one VE session, but I don't know if you got to make it or not, but hopefully I'll be up to it soon and get to do an eyeball, as we say. And I appreciate you checking in. Hang around. I know you got a lot of experience, and you never know what topics might come up. I've been a little bit out of pocket, KK4JZX has been a little busy. He's away taking care of his daughter's got a concert tonight, and there's no place else that I would be if my daughter had a concert. But with the holidays and all, we got a little bit away from our diligence, and so it's been a little bit off on check-ins, but we'd like to get some good technical discussions going. And so let's take it down to KF5QQB. Eric, when last I spoke with you, we were looking at soldering options. Did you make any headway on your project? And afterwards, I'll let you know what new projects I've got blowing in the wind, because I've got a couple of issues. KF5QQB, great to hear you on there, Eric. It's your turn.
Eric, KF5QQB here. And I did succeed in getting the soldering job done, but unfortunately it did not solve the problem on batch troubleshooting. And I've been a bit concerned because I haven't heard you on the radio or on the handy ham or anything lately, and I heard a few things about what you've been going through, and I am concerned. Anyway, I'm just listening in, watching one of my favorite movies on AMC right now, and reading stuff on Facebook, which I haven't been able to keep up with lately. Then I'll probably go back and read more about propagation stuff on Antennex or some other one of the other websites, but I ran into some really interesting articles that were posted on EHAM a couple of years ago about the ionosphere and plasma and how you can do plasma research as ham. And I wanted to read a little bit more about that because it sounds rather interesting how we could actually. But I'll send it back and see if anyone else has something else to talk about. I'll listen in and see if I can help anyone with any of their problems. KF5G, back to that control.
Oh, fine business there, Eric. I think that I was long-winded, and I may have used up most of the time, and it didn't get a chance to reset. And so you got dropped off there at plasma and propagation, and it didn't pick back up until you said you were going to turn it back to me. Although I turned the volume up on the radio, I'm actually sitting in the shack for the first time in a little while, and you were still transmitting. So fill me back in again on what you were talking about, propagation and plasma. Pick up from there. That sounded interesting. And let's give it a couple of seconds for the repeater to reset before we go forward. That way we don't worry about timing it out again there. This is AE5YC Net Control.
I probably just got long-winded and talked too long. Now, there's a series of articles posted on EHAM. I'll send you the link. to the page where I found them. And there's a physicist working up in Alaska wrote some rather humorous and scientific articles about how the ionosphere is a plasma, and we as hams can contribute to scientific knowledge by keeping careful records about our propagation and actual signal strength and so on and so forth. But anyway, I'll send you a link to the articles, and that way you can see what I'm talking about. But it looks like it'd be a lot of fun, and I found some other links. Well, he pointed to some other links on a few other websites having to do with propagation and the ionosphere and how it all works. So, an interesting topic. I'll send it back to you, Fan5TV.
Well, very good, Eric. I'll appreciate getting those, and that's a good segue. I wanted to mention something that I've been reading up on. I've had a little time, quiet time to read, and for anyone that is interested in weak signal, there's a website called wsprnet.org, I believe it is, but if you just Google WhisperNet, it's amazing. They're doing worked all countries with a tenth of a watt and a stub of a whip for an antenna, using digital and JT65 encoding, and something similar to what you described. They're monitoring propagation and collecting data, and I'm actually hoping that, health permitting, that I get to participate some more in that, perhaps even in an official capacity as one of the monitoring stations. But they have unofficial spots. You can go and register as a ham, and it's amazing. On low wattage, they're talking, you know, tens of thousands of miles around the globe, with, as one ham put it, a tenth of a watt and a wet noodle for an antenna. That's something I wanted to take a chance to take a moment to mention. Let me break and reset here. All right, so that way I don't time out, because I know I'm long-winded, and as slow as I'm having to talk here, I have to be careful for a few days after this procedure that my lung doesn't collapse. So they've told me I've got to not yell, which the kids love, and got to try not to cough, which of course the first thing you think of when someone says you can't cough is, golly, I need to cough. But anyway, maybe one of these times we'll bring up the WhisperNet as a topic, and at this point I know enough to be excited about weak signal work, and the fact that even if I were in a an environment where I couldn't put up a reasonable antenna, using digital methods, I could work the world, basically, using JT65 packets. Very interesting stuff. If anyone is interested, take a look on the web. In the meantime, let's get some more check-ins here. I'd like to say let's liven it up, but it's hard when I can't put the enthusiasm in my voice that I would like to, but this is the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet, and we're looking for some topics to discuss, hints, tips, questions, or just general check-ins to say hi. It's good to hear from everyone. My name is Herb, the call's AE5YC, and I'm down in New Orleans, so we're taking check-ins now. Go ahead.
5INR.
All right. Another, I believe that's a New Orleanian, KF5INR. This colander of a mind of mine should bring to mind the name. I want to say Mike, but actually I just did, didn't I? Hi. jump on in there and refresh me. I know your name, and if you've got any topic you'd like to bring to the table, we're doing this roundtable, so toss... something out there, a hint, a tip, a review, a question, or just say hello. It's your turn.
F5INR, handle on this end is Dave. I'm located in New Orleans East here. Just plugged the radio on here to do some check. Yeah, you guys were talking about propagation there, and there's tons and tons and tons of information on that. One of the websites I got some information on was Radio Netherlands, and they explained it in some very, very simple terms, a lot of technical stuff that was hard to understand. I heard one guy a couple of months ago explaining the density of the ionosphere as comparing it to a rubber band being stretched all the time, and some weak elastic points in and some soft ones. It's very, very complicated. Right now, I'm ready to throw the radio out the door to HF radio. Conditions for me have just been really, really poor here lately, and I have not really been able to work much decent DX. Just an Italian station here, I think, today. But normally, I'm over to the Mideast and, you know, in Japan and Russia, across the Atlantic and Pacific. Anyway, I just hope that we get a little bit better propagation on the HF band. Over.
Oh, very good, Dave. Well, you know, I was thinking it was just me. I haven't been on much recently, but the little bit I've been on, there has not been much DX. I think I got on for a little bit last weekend, and it was all U.S. stations. I don't remember hearing anyone any farther than perhaps Canada, but... that's interesting. I copied down Radio Netherlands for propagation information, and I do find antennas, feed lines, that very interesting. And propagation, of course, as a proponent of or a component of that. I'll spit it out. If anyone has any questions of Dave, let's take a second and open it up, since Dave tossed it out there. That Radio Netherlands, if someone needs any additional information or has a question on something Dave might have researched, it's KF5INR is his call. So I'm going to pause, and if anyone would like to jump in, we are doing this in a round table format loosely. So go right ahead and jump in. AE5YC, net control, tossing it out there for anyone who'd like to jump in.
That's KE0ETK.
Yeah, Phil, go right ahead.
Yeah, when you were talking about that, the tenth of a watt and so forth, what is that digital mode, and what type of frequency is that? I'm not sure I caught all that. I know you're talking about a tenth of a watt, you know, the real low power and not much of an antenna. What mode is that, and what frequency is that? Go ahead.
Well, believe it or not, pretty much... the entire HF spectrum, 160 through I think 10 meters. I don't think they go as far as 6 meters, the VHF section, but it's all bands, and literally a tenth of a watt. A station running 10 to 20 watts is considered a high-powered station, and they're using JT, Juliet Tango 65 encoding, just your basic digital interface. I've got a Tigertronics, I believe, interface that I use for PSK31. It handles it nicely. It works similar to PSK31, I was amazed at the reports I was seeing. One website, there's a lot of people that are involved in it. One website, you could see stations, and what you do is you can log into the website and report reception of packets when two-way communication isn't necessarily possible, it's really some cool stuff. It's if you just Google, if you can Google WhisperNet, and I can email you some links I've already saved, but it's WSPR, it's Weak Signal Propagation Report. WSPRnet.org is one of the websites. Back to you there, Phil.
Okay, Herbie, 5YC. And the TechNet, KD0ATQ. Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure what exactly mode it was. I like listening to PSK using DigiPan, since I can, you know, watch more than, you know, how you just highlight one of them and you can kind of watch all of them on the right hand side, all the rest of them going on. Like you get on there at 14070 on 20 and mess around with that. I remember back, this may have been back in the early 90s maybe, I'm not sure. I think it was around 1990, 92. Is Packet or mTOR still exist? Packet and mTOR, does that still exist? E5YC and the net, KD0ATQ.
Well, my knowledge is kind of limited on that. I believe it does, but if Rick's around, I got a feeling Rick would have some more information. KA5EZQ. Rick, are you still around, and do you have any knowledge for Phil, KD0ETQ, about Packet and mTOR? If you're still around, go ahead and go direct with Phil there, Rick.
KA5EZQ. I was monitoring it. I wasn't paying that close attention. I am not familiar with the particular websites or the Google point that he was referencing. 6 meters is kind of a funny band. It can provide skip over extremely great distance with low power. That being said, that's also why it's called the magic band. The characteristic of both HF and VHF. And that's about all I want to really say right now without a little more knowledge on the topic. KA5EQ, back to net.
Yeah, I can see I got your call right. KA5EZQ. This is KD0 Echo Tango Quebec. This is Phil. The question I had, I remember back, I think in the early, now about 20 years ago, I used to copy Packet and mTOR. Packet and mTOR. I was wondering, do they still exist, Rick? Go ahead.
I believe they do. mTOR, I don't think, is being used that much anymore. You can get on and try it. I'm fairly certain you will probably start picking up somebody coming back to you on it. There's enough programs out there these days that will differentiate which mode you're using, and if it'll identify that it's mTOR and enable the person at the other end to come back to you on it. Packet is one of the primary digital forms, similar to PSK, both versions. I have not been operating on the digital side enough to be able to give information on that. I'm still trying to set up my ready station. That's the precursor to digital.
Yeah, okay, Rick. Thanks for your information. KU5EZQ, KD0ETQ. Yeah, that's all I wondered. I just wondered, I know I can get a lot of different modes on, I have a lot of these different, I have all I went and got all kinds of different things to receive digital modes. I even, excuse me, I'm not really up on my CW like I should be, so I got I think they all come from the same place. I got something called CW Git that copies it. And I think I've got I use DigiPan. I've got something called SCATTY and TrueTTY. I think they all come from the same place overseas. I got them all at the same time when I got my ticket. But yeah, a lot of them will copy all the different things. And I even use something down on the very low bands and for copying a lot of weather, called NavTech, I believe it is. I think it's called NavTech. NAVTEX. I think that's how you print. I think that's what it is. NavTech down on the down at 300 and some down below the broadcast band. I listen to that every once in a while. Okay, thanks a lot. I'll go back over Herb. I think I got my answer. 85YC, KD0ETQ.
85EQ back again. You might also check out MMTTY, I think it is. There's a group of programs in it that are very good. DigiPan, of course, is very good. I'm aware of it. I have not had it. KA5EQ back to net.
Yeah, Roger. Thanks a lot there, Rick. It's, Phil, I wasn't sure if you had the second letter of his call right or not. It didn't sound quite right to my ear, but he's Kilo Alpha 5, Echo Zulu, Quebec, Rick. And he's been around pretty much all of it. One of our servicemen, if I remember correctly. And he's worked at it from all angles. And Packet, I believe that, I may be wrong, but I believe I've read that Packet's got a little bit of a resurgence. I know it's being used on VHF and UHF, but I think on HF as well, as sort of a slow version of the internet, where you can send out email. And I think the way it works is it broadcasts it out, and multiple stations can receive it, and then sooner or later some host system figures out that all these different stations sent the same packet, and then it makes sure it's got a clean copy, discards the rest, and sends out a it got through to me signal, and then forwards it on. So that's some interesting stuff. I'd be interested in playing with Packet as well. A good question, Phil. Appreciate you bringing it up. And if anyone else out there has a comment or anything on any of the topics as they come up, feel free on the pauses in between to give me your call, and then, you know, we'll go direct with whoever's the conversation is going with, and it all sorts itself out. So we keep it kind of loose here on the TechNet, which this is the Thursday night Handy Ham TechNet, and my name is Herb. The call is AE5YC. So far we've talked a little bit about propagation, and a little bit about digital, and a little bit about weak signal work. Looking for any more check-ins and any other comments or information on the either the topics up or any new topics. So go ahead with your check-ins now.
Kilo Delta Zero November November Echo.
Well, hello there, Jim, up in Crystal. Top of the evening to you. Glad to hear you in here. How are things going for you? And you got any comments or questions or anything you want to add into the mix here? And also, I see that Jose's logged in, but he's not by his station. So we'll hear Jose in here in a minute. But KD0NNE, Jim, good evening. It's your turn.
Yeah, good evening, Herb, and everybody on the net. KD0NNE, Jim from Crystal, Minnesota. I can't add much to your conversation. I was just listening along to learn something, but last week I posed a question on Elinco handhelds. I did get it resolved. There's a menu item in there that's not mentioned. Well, it's mentioned in the manual, but the fact that if you engage it, you lose the ability to add or change to the memory is not mentioned. And I found that on a review on EHAM. And funny thing is, you tested from my end, I was feeling better. 80-0, and I need that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. Jim, you were clear as a bell. I caught the first part, the Linko handheld. I wasn't there last week, so I wasn't aware of it, but you said you had found a menu option that would lock you out of writing those memory stations, and then the rest of what you had to say, all I got was bursts of frying bacon there. So I'm not sure whether it was just propagation or whether something went awry on the station side there. You want to try it again and see if it's resolved itself, at least the last part. If you want to, go right ahead.
As far as I know, I was keeping the mic button down. We've had a couple problems on and off today with people being noisy on this end. And you never know. But anyway, I got it all figured out, and it's back working the way it should be. 80-0 NNE back in that.
All right, Phil. Well, still a little noisy, but definitely readable. And keep note of that issue, because you probably will not be the last one to have that problem. And hopefully you can help walk somebody through resolving an issue. I'm at the bottom of the list, and so this is the Thursday Night TechNet, the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Don't mind me, folks. I'm just along for the ride. My name is Herb. The call is AE5YC, and I'm sitting down here in New Orleans enjoying our lovely weather and looking for more check-ins. And if you've got questions, comments, hints, tips, suggestions, anything technical, or if you just want to say hi, all are welcome. Taking those check-ins now.
Herb, it's KZRETQ again. So I didn't hear nobody come back, so I just thought I'd throw a couple things in there. First on the, what did you ask me about Eric's call? The call for Rick. I do have written down KA5EZQ. I might have called him KF5. Since there's so many KF5s, I might have said KF5. I do have written down KA5. And one other thing I was going to ask before when I was talking about digital modes. I don't know. I'm asking about another thing. I don't know if it exists or not. Is there such a thing as a transceiver, like handling the HF bands, that only handles digital modes, no sideband, AM, nothing, just a little transceiver that runs digital modes only? Is there anything like that? Does anything like that exist, or would you have to build it? KD0ETQ.
Well, Phil, interesting proposition. I've never heard of a digital-only radio myself, because you've got to modulate. You could theoretically key and unkey just the transmitter, do it old school, and I guess that would be with no modulation. But everything else, the PSK31, all the modes work on modulating the signal. So essentially you need a radio, and then you need something to modulate and demodulate it to work the digital. But does anyone out there have any other information about a strictly digital radio? Perhaps it's one that they just eliminate some of the extra circuitry. There might be something out there. Let's go ahead and, in addition to taking check-ins, if there's anyone that's got a comment on Phil's question about a digital-only radio, jump on in. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet, AE5YC, Herb, down in New Orleans, taking check-ins and any response from anyone about the digital-only radio question. Go ahead. I don't think anyone had an answer, and I appreciate you jumping in there a minute ago, Phil. I was actually typing a couple of notes from Jim so that I could add them to whatever notes were from last week. I'm trying to get back into the groove, so I had my hands on the keyboard typing left that extra long pause in there, but I appreciate you coming back with the question, but no, I don't think anyone's got, at this point, any other information other than the theory, which it's only a theory that I've got, but I do not personally recall seeing anything like that, and like I said, it seems like short of a strictly on-off RF signal where you're reading the on-off states, just like the old spark gap transmitters. If you're going to send digital, it's going to take a modulator, and to receive it, a demodulator. But you never know. Someone's likely to have more information than I've got, for sure. It's 7:45, and I know it's the holidays, so people have a lot going on. It may be a short net tonight, but do we have any more check-ins or any other comments? Anyone else have anything that they'd like to toss out there? You're more than welcome to. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club, Thursday Night TechNet, AE5YC, Herb down here in New Orleans, net controller for tonight. Taking those check-ins now, and or comments and questions. Go right ahead.
AB0NRB. Sobot Bravo Zero, November Romeo Bravo, Bob in Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm in and out tonight. Chow bag, feed bag has just been put on.
Well, fine business, Bob. Appreciate you stopping by and saying hi. And, you can call me late for anything but a meal. It looks like I doubled with Jose. Sorry about that, Jose. Well, thanks for stopping by, and even if it is in and out, Bob, glad to have you. KK4JZX, Jose, am I done doubling with you? Go ahead.
Hey, Herb, just got back. Thank you very much for picking up the net there, although it was your night. Hope you're feeling better. We have, I've got my daughter who is 12 years old. I was at a concert tonight, very beginner concert, but it was one of those concerts, you know, you gotta show up for the kids concerts, but you know, she wants to become a ham radio operator. She's been hearing me talk about it, and she saw me when I was studying for it, and she helped me out a little bit, and she wants to become a ham radio operator. So what, you know, how do I get a 12 year old to become a ham radio operator? I guess that's my is that a technical question? Maybe. KK4JZX, back to net control. Thank you, Herb.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to make it before the net closed up there, Jose. It's a little bit slow tonight, but we have had some discussions on propagation and digital modes. But hey, 12-year-olds, that's not too young at all. I'm not sure what the record is, but I know I've heard of a 7-year-old who got their ticket. So your daughter probably run rings around me. Yeah, I almost guarantee it. So all you got to do is point her in the right direction, and she'll have a ticket way quicker, not quick enough to embarrass me, I'll say for sure. So I won't say any more, because otherwise I'll. Hey, look at that. Phil says he was 12 when he got his novice license. I think I was 13 or 14 when I got my novice license. I can't remember back that far without the Wayback Machine. Anyway, this is the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet, and we are taking check-ins, comments, questions, hints, tips, reviews, radios, antennas, computer software. Anything of a technical nature, or if you just want to stop in and say hi like Bob did there, we're happy to have you all. So this is AE5YC, Herb down in New Orleans, looking for any more check-ins, and any other comments that anyone that's already checked in would like to make, jump on in there. Welcome.
KJ6ZKC.
All right, Mike, KJ6ZKC, welcome to the TechNet. Good to hear you in this evening. What you got going on with you this evening? It's your turn.
Not too much. It's overcast over here in San Jose, and it's been kind of cold all day. If you call around 60 degrees cold, let me break here for a second. But just the, something interesting that I heard about Radio Netherlands, as they used to say over there. I used to hear that, the shortwave service, when I was a kid. But they have dismantled their the big station they had down in Bonaire, which is one of their territories down there off, I guess, the coast of Venezuela. And they, it's kind of sad to hear that when I heard it the other day, but I would sure love to get a hold of their the antennas they had. KJ6, ZKC, back to you, Herb.
So, Mike, are you saying that they took a station off the air off the coast of Venezuela? I'm trying to picture the area in there that's, I know that's not that far from the Galapagos. I think it's south, although my geography off the top of my head's not real clear, but did you say that a station that had been operating on an island off the coast of Venezuela was taken off the air? Go ahead there, Mike.
Yeah, Radio Netherlands had a shortwave service for many, many years, and it was their big station for this part of the world was on the island of Bonaire, which is in the Atlantic, off the coast of Venezuela, and I think the Galapagos Islands are off of Ecuador on the Pacific coast. But it was sad to hear that. I had heard rumors about that for a while, although, as I said, as a kid, I used to listen to Radio Netherlands shortwave service every night. You know, I don't think I missed it for years. Back to you, Herb. Oh, by the way, the Bonaire is one of the islands that they have. Down there, there's, I can't think of the other ones, but there's three little islands over there that belong to Holland. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, fine business. Yeah, definitely the Marquesas are on the Pacific side. I didn't hear you mention Bonaire. Seemed like I worked a station down in that area. But like I said, my geography was just a little bit fouled up. Well, yeah, I hate to hear that they've gone off the air, especially if you have the nostalgia of listening to them. But yeah, you're right. They probably had one heck of an antenna set up. Hardest part would be getting it back, huh? Tell you what, you find the boat and I'll sail it down there and we'll bring it back. All right, I'm at the bottom of the list. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet, and my name is Herb. My call is AE5YC down here in New Orleans, and we're taking check-ins, comments, questions, hints, tips, reviews, anything of a technical nature, or if you just want to stop in and say hi, that'll be all right too. But if there's anyone that's already checked in that wants to bring something up that's come to mind, or comment on something that's been mentioned since then, feel free to jump back in. We do this in more of a round table fashion, depending on the technical topics that come up. So taking check-ins and rechecks. Go ahead.
KK4JZX with a recheck and a question. Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead there, Jose. KK4JZX in the group. AE5YC, net control. Take it away.
All right. Here's where the green in me is coming out. KK4JZX. I used to build the Ethernet networks with BNC connectors, coaxial cable. What was it, RG58? I don't remember. Herb, I'm sure you remember that. I remember splicing the cables to put in BNC connectors, and I'm wondering if because I lost my sight 10 years ago. I'm wondering if radio connectors today, because I'm trying to figure out if the best way for me to get my radio connected to a homemade antenna here that I'm working on is to use that type of connector. I'm not familiar with the technology well enough yet. Is it? I know I have a reversed SMA connector on the radio part, but then to go from there to the feed line, the 50 ohm feed line, is that some sort of a BNC type connector. Is that how it works? KK4JZX.
Well, the question was posed about using BNC connectors to hook up the radio. And by the way, Ethernet was RG58U, which is a little lossy, but I'm using it here to feed some HF stuff. It's okay on HF. It gets real lossy on VHF and UHF. Anyone out there, before I throw my two cents in, have any comments on using BNC connectors in the feed lines on a, I assume you're talking about your HF station you want to set up there, Jose. Jump on in and put your comments in.
This is Katie here, ET. Here's the only thing I know about what they're talking about, the BNC connector and the SMA, because on the Bofang, it's got that SMA connector, and I went to Radio Shack and I got a little adapter, just screwed in the SMA, and the other end was the BNC, if you have to have the BNC. I know Radio Shack has the adapters in stock where you screw the SMA in on the one end and makes the other end a little BNC. I got that at Radio Shack, if that's any help.
I was wondering if you were still in there, Rick. I knew you'd have a comment on that, because I know you know some of the good answers on it. KA5EZQ, go right ahead.
Hey, thank you, Herb. This is King Alpha 5, Echo Zulu, Quebec. If you're using an HF rig at power, I would not use a very long length of RG58. It is a little bit too lossy power-wise. It simply isn't built to handle 100 or so watts that most HF rigs are capable of putting out. Short whip, 1, 2, maybe 3 foot, maybe a little longer than that. I wouldn't like to go too much farther than that. To go to a heavier cable and allow you some flexibility in moving the HF rig around a little bit, that would be acceptable. You can get almost any kind of adapter, SMA or reverse SMA, to either BNC, UHF, or Type N. Those are the three most commonly used. I don't think Radio Shack has a Type N adapter, but most hams are using UHF connectors anyway, and that would probably be your best bet. A short whip to a RG8, RG213, RG214, or whatever you've got available to use as the main cable to the antenna. If you're going more than 15, 20 feet, believe me, you'll appreciate having the heavier cable. Okay, buddy. Pat.
Thank you very much, Rick. I couldn't agree more. I knew you'd have the scoop on that. And yeah, Jose, the big shortcoming to the BNC is the size. It's meant for the smaller diameter wire, and as Rick pointed out, the RG58, while it is a 50 ohm coax, it just isn't, it's too lossy to handle any length whatsoever. You'll see BNCs used direct connect on some handhelds and mobiles where the antenna's a very, very short run, as Rick pointed out, or as a patch cable sometimes. But he did mention UHF. That's more formally known as a 239. SO239 is the chassis connector, and the remind me, Rick, what's the, because I'm just not thinking clear. It's a 239. What's the designator on the UHF connector? SO239 is a chassis connector. What's the male version of that, the designator? Rick, back to you.
That's the SO238.
Yo, 259.
Correct. 59. You're quite correct. I was mistaken. 238, I think, is a female cable connection.
Roger, Cam, this is Cam 5CB. 238 is the female, and the DL, Papa Lima 259, is the male that you normally see on the end of coax. And you can get all kinds of variations on the 59. Radio Shack has a bunch of them, and you can look up even more of them on the World Wide Web. Cam 5CB.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, you know, the brain just flatlined on me there. Papa Lima, PL-259. I've only put a couple of those on. I probably put no more than, 6,000 or 8,000 connectors on. So the fact that I can't remember it just is a sign that I'm losing it. And the chassis version is the SO-239, which I did remember that, but the PL-259 has got the diameter to handle the large diameter coax, and RG-8 being the less expensive, slightly lossier version. They've got a lot of newer versions out there now that Rick listed off, but the RG-58 is just too lossy. My run is not even 15 feet. I go out and tie right into the base of the G5RV Junior. Golly, I can barely remember my name tonight. So I'm using a very short run of 58 and still paying a heavy price for it. I know I should have RG8 on there, definitely a lossier cable, but that's the big reason not to use a BNC. So I'll send it back to you there, Jose, KK4JZX. And don't worry about being green. We all started off green, and here I went from green to not green and back to green again just by virtue of my memory. So don't sweat it. You only learn by asking questions. So back to you, Jose, AE5YC, Net Control.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks to Eric and Rick. And by the way, Eric, I appreciate KF5QQB. I appreciate that you sent me all those links. I am yet to go through all of them. I've been reading one of them, but I'm learning. I started in 2003 when I lost my sight. It had been over 10 years that I hadn't touched a coaxial cable. So I haven't had to touch one, and I even lost all my crimpers and all that. So I don't have any of the tools to be able to make these cables and have all these connectors put in, because I like to do that. I know the stuff is cheap now, cheap enough that it can be purchased. But I like to tinker regardless. But thank you very much. I'm wondering though, RG-8 and RG-58. I've read about those, but RG-8. What makes it less lossier? Is it because the shielding, the outer shielding? Is it a different material? What makes the RG-8 less lossier than RG-58? Is it because of the thickness of the cable, or is it because of the outer part of the cable, the mesh part of it, if I remember correctly the name. KK4JZX.
NE recheck.
Had to let the repeater here locally drop. We were right on the edge of timing out. I know there's going to be a few people with comments on that, so Jim got in there first. Give it a pause, Jim, so that the local repeater at least, and I'm sure the other repeaters will need the same, have a chance to catch their breath. And we'll turn it over to you, and then anyone else that would like to put a comment in on the differences between 58 and 8, what makes it less lossy. KD0NNE, go ahead with your recheck, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Herb. KD0NNE. I didn't mean to be that quick, but sometimes the only way to get in. This has nothing to do with the RG8 versus 58. It's back to the VNC connectors. If I wanted to use VNC connectors, I would use them with the 75-ohm cable that the TV cable guys use, because it's got very, very little loss at high frequencies and very high UHF. And I think you could get away with it pretty good down at HF, and it's a 1.5-to-1 match the way it is, so I don't think they'd have much trouble tuning a SWR on this stuff either. KD0NNE, back to net.
N5, X-Ray, Charlie, X-Ray, check in.
Hello there, Woody. Welcome to the Thursday night TechNet, and got you checked in. Do you want to comment to the reasoning behind RG8 being less lossy than 58, or any other comment? You go ahead, and then I'm going to toss this one out there, because I know Rick's got some good info, and so does Eric. First we'll get you, and then we'll see what Eric and Rick have to say, and I might even throw a comment in my own self. N5XCX, good evening, Woody. Welcome to the net. It's your turn.
Thank you. No, I'd be interested in hearing that myself. Now, I always thought that RG8 was less lossy because of the foam dielectric, you know, between the center and the outside elements, but I might be incorrect there. I'd be interested in hearing what everybody else had to say there. Over.
All right. Well, good evening, Woody. All right. Who'd like to jump in there first and give us a little info on loss in the cable between 58 and 8, and why 8 is less lossy? Whoever would like to jump in, go ahead. No need to fight, boys. There's plenty of time for all.
KF5INR.
All right. KF5INR. Go right ahead, Dave, and let us know what you got to say. AE5YC, Herb here.
KF5INR. Two things here I'm confused with. Jose was talking about using the BNC connector with HF. I haven't seen any HF rigs with the using BNC. They usually have an SO239 on back of them, and if that's the case, I would suggest that he stay with the PL259 connector on the cord. When using the PL259, it can go into the RG8. It's a direct fit, but if he goes with the Mini 8 is a smaller cable, almost close in size to the RG58, but it's he would have to use an adapter to the PL259 to hold the shield in place. To my understanding, the dielectric insulator in the cables between the 58 and the 8, the foam-injected dielectric insulation in there that makes it a lot more efficient, and also the shielding in the cable is much more dense, I believe. They even have more efficient cables yet, like the LMR400, which I'm using here, which has a much less losses on it. I'm not using that on my VHF, I'm using that on the HF. But anyway, I'm kind of confused about his use of the BNC connector on HF. I just haven't seen many HF rigs with the BNC connector on the back, and I'd like to confirm that his HF rig has a BNC connector on the back. Over.
Now, Roger, Dave. I actually have seen some old HF equipment that had BNC on it, but generally for patching stuff over, like if you were going from the VFO to the transmitter, because believe it or not, in the olden days, they could be separate. And actually, my first rig was separate and had to be connected up. And also, sometimes connecting between a low power transmitter and an amp because that little short run wouldn't make much of a difference. But I appreciate your input on that, and that's definitely moving us in the right direction. And Jose, I see you in the text box. The losses actually would go up on VHF and UHF, believe it or not. The type N connector is the less lossy for the higher frequencies. As you get up above 30 megahertz, the type N connector is an even better one. I'll toss that little tidbit in. And in the meantime, I'm going to toss it back out there and see who would like to put their 2 cents in on the differences between 58 and RG8 or other low-loss cables. What makes them less lossy? Somebody, anybody else that would like to jump in, go ahead and jump in.
WA0 Tango Delta Alpha.
Fox 5, Quebec, Quebec, Bravo.
And KA5EU.
I knew we'd bring them out of the woodwork, but we even got Pat in there. Well, since Pat doesn't get to check in very often, I'm going to go with Pat first, and then we'll get EZQ and QQB in there. I know y'all got some good answers. WA0TDA, Pat, good evening, and welcome to the Thursday TechNet. Yeah. Haven't heard you and haven't spoke with you, I should say, in a while. I may have heard you and not been speaking up, and I apologize for the weak voice. I'm having a little trouble pumping enough air out to get my point across sometimes. Go ahead, Pat, it's your turn.
Okay, very good, Herb. Well, I want to address two things. The first one was Jose's question about connecting the Osheng radio or the Baofeng. I don't remember which one he asked about, but in any case, what you need is a pre-made adapter cable. And what you want to do is get something that's got the reverse SMA to another connector, like an SO238 that accepts a PL259. And you can get these from Amazon for $15, and that's the way to do it. You don't want to fiddle around trying to put this thing together. and you do need that rather than just a straight adapter, because the flexible wire will protect the SMA jack on the radio. If you try to connect a stiff, thicker cable like RG58 or something like that to those little radios, you're definitely going to break that SMA connector. So you need this other cable. Let me reset. Okay, and the second thing is the diameter of the coax does make a difference because of skin effect, which is definitely apparent as you go up in frequency. And this is the tendency of the current to concentrate on the outside of a conductor. So if you have very tiny conductors with small diameter coax, the resistance is going to go up, and so that makes it less efficient. And also the makeup of the dielectric plays a part too. So those are a couple of things. WA0TDA.
Very good, Pat. Appreciate you jumping in, and I knew you'd have some good information as well, teaching the classes as you do, and they're very interesting. I love the test questions that you throw into the newsletter. They always give me a little chance to refresh and think it through. And so let's go down to back here to New Orleans, to my neck of the woods, and Rick, I think Eric just did beat you on the key. KF5 QQB. Eric, go ahead.
This is KF5 QQB, Eric in New Orleans. The conductor diameter in the middle makes a difference because of the skin effect. Also, the type of dielectric used in the insulation between the central conductor and the shield, that makes a difference as well. Of course, the bigger conductor, the less loss. Which is why the lowest loss is like the 1-inch or the 1.5-inch heliac, which actually has a tube down the middle of it for the conductor in the middle. But that's when you got to run 1,000 feet or whatever. For close in, actually, at lower frequencies, RG58 is not too bad. At 10 megahertz, you get 1.4 dB loss, which is less than half of your signal is lost in 100 feet with at 10 megahertz. But once you get up above 100 megahertz, you're up in 5 dB, so you're losing half or two-thirds or three-quarters of your signal when you start getting in 100 feet, when you start getting up above 100 megahertz. So the frequency makes a huge difference. The shorter the shorter the wavelength, the more the loss in the coax. And I'll send it back right now because my wife is staring at me. KF5CD.
Discretion being the better part of valor there, Eric. I think that was a wise move on your part. KA5EZQ, I know that Rick's got good information on this as well. So we're getting some really good information for Jose and all of us on transmission lines here. So KA5EZQ, go ahead, Rick.
Okay, this is KA5EZQ, Rick down in Belchase. Everything they have said is correct and should pay attention to it. I would like to give an analogy. You wouldn't try to run your rig off of 22-gauge telephone cable for power. You'd rather use 16 or 12-gauge cable because you won't have as much power loss over the length of the cable, even though it's only 5 or 10 feet. That's the same thing with comparing RG58 to RG8 or any of the other larger cables. RG8 is also somewhat lossy as you go up in frequency and will act actually almost as an antenna to an extent because it has a relatively open braid shield. 213, 214, LMR400, Heliac, they all have either approaching 100% coverage or 100% coverage so that nothing going out the semiconductor can get out through the shield and be radiated out as a signal in an area where it doesn't do you any good. That would be the other thing against RG8, basically a small version of RG8, and it has quite a bit of loss in the same manner. But you start running power through RG58, you can reach over with your bare hand and grab that cable, and it will actually feel quite warm to you. If you run too much power, it will be very warm. And that all that heat is RF that's not going out into the air. So that's the way I would try to look at it. And I believe that the radio that the gentleman has a SMA or reverse SMA on it, not a BNC. Somebody said some of the old rigs had BNCs, but I don't think there's too many newer ones that do. So, if he's using a VHF, I would tend to keep the RG58 or other small pigtail as short as possible, commensurate with maintaining a considerable flexibility to the heavier kick.
Yeah, fine business, Rick. I knew you'd have another good point to put on it. So, I'll toss this one out to you, Jose, just as a icing on the cake. When you get up into the microwave frequencies, we use waveguide. It is a solid pipe that literally is tuned to the frequency and acts like a water pipe and bounces the signal inside the copper tube from the transmitter to the feed horn that points the signal normally at a either a solid dish or a mesh dish. So now you've got feed lines from the teeny tiny to the very big. What you think about that, Greenhorn? Great topic. Appreciate you bringing that up, Jose. KK4JZX in the group. AE5YC, net control down here in New Orleans.
All right, so I'm going to throw another wrench here. And definitely learning some stuff here. But when I was talking about the BNC connector, I wasn't talking on the right on the side of the radio itself. I know the side of the radio has the particular Oshang radio that I have here is a reverse SMA. The other radio is just a regular SMA connector. But I was talking about on the other side where the feed line is connected to the cable, the actual connector, the $15 connector that somebody was talking about. But the wrench that I'm going to throw, the monkey wrench here, is W8A, I think was, I forget his call sign, Wayne, a few weeks ago, there was a conversation, and I remember that he was on his way home walking. He said that somebody mentioned here earlier that 75-ohm cable, that's provided by the cable company and DirecTV and those types of folks. I got my hands on about 100 foot of that type of cable here that I removed from a twin lead that was left here by DirecTV. They used to run a dual LMB from the satellite dish over to the box, but then they switched and they're running everything through one wire now. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. So I took out that piece of wire, that extra one that was left there, and I want to use it to build myself an antenna. But I heard someone say earlier that 75-ohm, that type of 75-ohm cable is not as lossy with the higher frequencies. But I heard something different from someone else here before, and I just wanted to clarify that. Is it true that the 75-ohm cable that the cable companies leave laying around are not as lossy with the higher frequencies? I'm just wondering about that, because I was told that cable is only, that coax cable is only, should only be used for the antenna portion. The feed line must be 50-ohm RG8. Another monkey wrench there, Herb. KK4JZ, expect net control.
All right, well, I'm going to refrain from answering because I am such an opinionated person. And I do have an opinion, but I'm going to hold off until I give some of the boys a chance to jump in, because I know that we got some great information out there, and I don't want to put any bias on there. So Jose is thinking about using the 75-ohm coax for an antenna, number one, and number two, he's heard that it's not lossy or as lossy on VHF, UHF frequencies, which is why they use it for the cable and satellite. Would anyone like to speak to that topic? If so, go ahead. Or also, if we have another check-in, new check-ins are welcome at any time. But otherwise, anyone else who's out there in the group, jump in and address that topic, those two topics. AE5YC, net control.
Well, I've got to go to another frequency. I'll be back later. Other than that, I got to work with KA5EZ, clear to USY.
Well, I know that had to kill Rick. Rick, we'll miss you, and because I know you had some good information on that. Would anyone else like to speak to the two halves of this topic, which is one, using the 75-ohm coax as an antenna, and number two, would it truly be a good feed line at higher frequencies, because that's what the cable company uses for their satellite work, etc. Anyone else want to speak to that? Go ahead if you do. AE5YC, net control.
F5INR. The impedance of that television cable is 72 ohm, and you really need to stay with 50 ohm. from your radio to the antenna there or a matching network to bring it 50 ohms to the radio. The reason why that type of cable has less losses is because it has a shield in there, a foil shield besides the braided shield in there, and that really minimizes the losses. But when you're transmitting power from your radio, I think you want to present a 50 ohm match to your radio, and television type cable, I think it's RG6, is not going to give you that 50 ohm match. Over.
That's a good point, Dave. It is only a 1.5 to 1 SWR, but there are some other issues involved in there. Does anyone else want to toss anything out on the subject of using the 75 ohm for a transmission feed line? If you got any comments you'd like to make, go ahead and jump in. This is AE5YC. Net Control.
KB0NRB in Rapid City.
Bob, go ahead.
TV coax, good stuff, Belden, up to about 40 watts to about 60 feet with maybe a half a dB loss. Standing wave is negligible. It's about 40 or 50 watts, so she has a tendency to radios get a little bit on the warm side.
Yay. More than that, I'm sure you can tune it out for your SWR match, or if you use an antenna tuner. Lately, I've been using an antenna tuner for pretty much everything. I'm getting rid of it on the lazy side. Also, on SMA connectors, there's males and females, but there's males and females of both the standard and the reverse. So when you use the word reverse, you're talking about an SMA that's used in Wi-Fi, and which means it's got the male part on the opposite side of what you would expect. So you can't mix standards and reverse ones. Chinese radios have either males or females on the radio. It varies by the radio, but they're not reversed. KD0NNE, back to NAC.
Jim, you and Bob doubled up. So we didn't catch the first part of what you had to say, but did catch the last part. And I think that's a good point, the male-female issue. And it may seem a little silly, but when I was studying decades ago, the way we kept it straight is we referred to it as a gazinta or gazonta. So it either goes into a connector, which would make it the male, or it goes onto a connector, which would be the female side. And that's always helped me keep straight the polarity of the connectors. Jim, I don't think you heard, but Bob was speaking to the fact that the RG75 is really only suited to lower wattages because of the small size. Of course, it's going to have it's going to generate some heat, and you'd like to use up all that that current in radiating. The more signal that gets radiated out into the air, the more efficient the rig, then the better chance you got of being heard. So the 75 ohm coax overall, I'll throw my 2 cents in now and more people can comment, or we can have some more comments come in, but it's just like RG58, that small diameter. You've got the skin effect, you've got the thinner dielectric. It's got all the same downside. The only difference is it's usually 100% shield, and if you think about it, it's receiving a signal, not transmitting a signal. The two are completely different functions, and a piece of wire that can work great receiving a signal, when you go to try to pump 100 watts or maybe even more out of it, may not be suitable at all. There, I contained myself pretty good, fellas. I I held back quite a bit. Anybody else want to throw something in to that? I think y'all covered it actually pretty well completely without me, but I had to say something. That's the fun part. One more time, we'll put it out there. Anyone want to comment on using this RG-75 as either a feed line or an antenna? Of course, you know my position on it as an antenna. I would make a double bazooka. Now, you see, I timed out. There you go. That's what I get for being so long-winded. The only thing I would be comfortable using it for would be to make a double bazooka. And as I say it, I look around and I see all the 75 ohm coax that I've got laying around from the same kind of leftovers Jose, and I am going to be putting out some double bazookas here, even if I have to get friends to come over and string them up for me. So would anyone else like to comment on the 75 ohm coax either as an antenna or as a feed line? If not, we'll move on down and see if there's anyone else that would like to check in or any other topics that would like to come up. This is the Thursday edition, the Thursday TechNet for the Handy Ham Radio Club. Yeah, I'm not too rusty. AE5YC, Herb, down in New Orleans, Net Control. Jose, you got any more monkey wrenches you want to throw in on that subject before I ask for any more check-ins? KK4JZX in the group, AE5YC.
I'll contain myself, KK4JZX. when you don't know what you don't know, you ask a lot of questions and you get a lot of good answers. So I've heard a lot of good things on the TechNet, and I'm really appreciative of that. And Herb, thank you, and thank you for running the net, and thanks to everybody that has put in their 2 cents. Definitely helpful. when I was running way back in 1991, when I was doing wiring, when I was doing RG-58, I knew nothing about what losses were and all that, because I was a rookie back then, and I was running wire, like you won't believe it, until one day we got to a section of wire that was too long, and we just couldn't understand why the signal wouldn't reach. But anyway, as a topic for another time. Lots of good experiences in that time, but I've got a new experience to work with now, which is I'm trying to challenge myself to work through things without sight. So I am going to get the connector that Pat is recommending, but I am going to build the antenna portion of it, and I'm going to be using it. So thank you very much, Herb, KK4JZX.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing an interesting set of topics to the table, Jose. And I think Pat and, everybody who commented summed it up well, which is you want to keep the strain off the radio, so you're working with a very small piece of coax, very thin. It's got to be done right. It's better to buy that and make sure that you've got a good, clean connection, and that you don't do any damage to the radio, and then put your efforts into building it from that point forward. So if you're going to be putting together the VHF-UHF antennas, there's some real interesting stuff that we'll chat about on the next TechNet. I'll drag out my antenna book, and we can talk about, since you'll be running the net, Yagis and ground planes and J-poles, and you can figure out what you want to make. I'm not sure you can do anything with that 75 ohm coax as far as an antenna goes on that's, you know, all that useful on VHF/UHF, especially if you want to make a dual band, but you never can tell. We got a lot of smart people out there, so they're liable to come up with something. But there's some interesting stuff that you might want to try with other materials and sticking VHF, UHF frequencies, sticking to those, it's a whole lot easier. You know, 70 centimeters is, you know, not very long. 2 meters is not very long. So you can make a lot of antennas with not very much in the way of materials. Anyway, before I time out, do we have any other check-ins for the Thursday edition of the Handy Ham Radio Club's TechNet? The only edition. AE5YC, this crazy net control down in New Orleans. Taking check-ins. Go ahead.
AE5EZ is back.
Hey, Rick. Glad you were able to come back. I don't know if you caught any of that, but we had some interesting discussion about the potentials of using the 75 ohm coax for an antenna, which the only recommendation I had was a double bazooka, and even if it's on VHF frequencies. I would be curious if you have any input on that, and of course there's a feed line. I actually don't remember now if you got to put your 2 cents in on that, but the discussion went towards same thing with as 58, too small a diameter to handle any kind of power load, but I'd be curious what your take would be since Jose is definitely going to be building stuff himself on that. So anything you want to throw in there, Rick, you go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. The stuff that the cable company uses is probably either going to be RG6 or RG11. One of them is much heavier than the other and will handle a little bit more power. Big drawback of using either one of those is that it is 75 ohm cable, not 50 ohm. Your transmitter is looking for a 50 ohm output, and it's going to see 75 ohms, so you're going to start out with about a 1.5 to 1 SWR, or almost a 2 to 1 SWR right off the bat. That being said, it can be used as a matching stub up at the antenna, where you're supposed to have 300 ohm, like in a dipole. You can use it as a matching stub. I don't have the specific dimensions for it offhand, but I think it's either a quarter or half wavelength at the frequency you want to use. Using it across a whole bunch of ham band frequencies, it's not going to be that usable the way you want, think, and definitely not as the whole length of feed line. That would be my comment. Probably what most of the others have already said, but I had to go take care of another net myself, so I didn't get any of it. Is that pretty much what others have said? Herb, KA5EZU back connected.
Other than no one had mentioned the matching stub, which is a good point. That is that's the most common use that I know of for 75 ohm is a matching stub. But Jose's initially starting off wanting to do VHF, UHF, mainly because he's already got his dual bander. So I don't see much use myself. Like I said, you could put together a dipole real easy, a double bazooka with 100 feet you can make a lot of dipoles. And I would say you could make a directional antenna with it, but it'd be easier rather than trying to support the sections just to go ahead and use the proper material. Some kind of tubing or rod. There's lots of stuff. I made a 2 meter ground plane using coat hanger before. Welding rods, I've heard of a lot of different things. I think you're just about out of luck, Jose, for VHF, UHF antenna work on the 75 ohm. I know you're into repurposing, but just about just can't really come up with a good use for it there. But thanks for coming back to us, Rick. Enjoy having you on the TechNet. All right, do we have any other check-ins? This is the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet, taking questions, comments, hints, tips, reviews, anything of a technical nature, or if you'd just like to say hi. My name is Herb. My call is AE5YC, and I'll be net control for a little bit longer here until we shut this thing down. Is there anyone else out there that would like to check in, or would anyone else that's already checked in like to make another comment? Go ahead.
WB0KZB.
WB0KZB. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the net. Go ahead with anything you got for us. AE5YC, Herb, net control here down in New Orleans.
E5YC in the net. WB0KZB. Name here is Jim, Juliet India Mike, and we're in Crystal, Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis, coming to you RF. As a matter of fact, this is my first contact on the new tower that's in the backyard. I just got it wired up, and this is the J-pole that I made out of copper pipe that's sitting up about 45 feet now, so I should be able to hit that repeater without even trying hard, because it is a real good repeater. I was listening to your comments earlier on the using, I think it was RJ6, the 75-ohm coax as a matching stub. I've seen people do that successfully, and I've seen a couple little antenna ideas with it. And when I was a novice, all I had was RJ79, I think it was 79, it was the 72-ohm coax, TV coax, and that's all I had. And I ran about 60 feet of it out to a vertical antenna, or a dipole antenna, I think it was at the time. The back of my HW16 made all kinds of contacts because I didn't know any better about SWR and the like. But that was, well, you know, I didn't have a meter, so I didn't have any SWR. But it was the tube days, and they're a lot more forgiven, but... Anyway, that's the 2 cents that I have from Crystal, Minnesota. So let me send it back your way, and always good to get on the net with y'all. AE5YC, WB0KZB.
I should have recognized that call, Jim, our other Jim from Crystal. And, yep, had an HW16 myself. And still love tube radios for their forgiving nature, although I can tell you from personal experience recently, I'm looking over with great sadness at my Kenwood 830S that I managed to, I believe, take out the finals because I just knew I could find the right combination of settings on the antenna tuner and tweaking the finals to match it up well enough to use the high end of 80 meters on an antenna that absolutely should never be used on 80 meters. And so now I'm going to have to pull my spare set of finals out, and I'm going to go ahead and replace the 12BY7A driver as well as the 6146B finals, and I've already changed the high voltage caps, so then I've got to neutralize it, and all kinds of good stuff, all because I just kept stretching the limits. And I just knew that I would be able to make a contact on 75 meters, and, well, nope, didn't make a contact, and now I'm running on my backup rigs. Oh, there you go. And thanks for checking in, Jim. Really appreciate it. Always good to hear you. And, yeah, thank you, Jose. Yeah, the TechNet took off a little slow, but it's been gaining speed. All right, well, I'm at the bottom of the list, and we're at the top of our, coming up to the top of our second hour. I think this is the tonic that I needed because I actually feel like I got a little more energy than when I started the net. Maybe my lungs needed exercise more than they needed rest. What do doctors know anyway? So anyway, any more check-ins to the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet or comments on any of the topics we've had out there or anything new that you'd like to throw out there. Bring it on. AE5YC, Herb down in New Orleans, taking your check-ins.
Number 5, India Alpha Whiskey.
Let's see, I believe I copied November 5, India Alpha Whiskey. I wasn't ready to type. You caught me off guard. So come back with your call if you would, and your name, and anything you got for the TechNet. From hello to questions, comments, hints, tips, reviews, welcome aboard.
It's N5IAW. The name is Richard. The home QTH is Summit, Mississippi, but I'm in the city, you know, working. I've been here several months. I just happened to turn the radio on and heard you take a check-in, so I thought I would. I just wanted to check in and say hello.
Well, Richard, as one of the locals, welcome. We got folks on here from the corners of the country. This is tied in through N5OZG's repeater to the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet. This net meets every Thursday at 7 p.m. and goes until everybody gets tired of it. And I'm not always around to connect it in, and if anyone else gets to connect it in, then it gets connected in, and if not, well, then it's not online. But we try to, and I'm going to try to make it more often. I've been away a little bit, but in case you hang around longer or you're back in town, this is basically a roundtable discussion. We do take just general check-ins, so I'm happy to hear from you. But we take comments, questions, hints, tips, reviews, antennas, feed lines, radio, transmitters, receivers, computer, hardware, software, you name it. Anything of a technical nature is welcome. So, and you're always welcome. Welcome to New Orleans. So appreciate you checking in, and if you have any other comments, then please feel free to jump in. And in the meantime, I'll go ahead and I guess I'll make this the last call since we are coming up on the two-hour mark. This is AE5YC, Herb down in New Orleans, doing the first last call for check-ins to the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet. Well, it gained speed. It did start off a little slow, and it finished up quite nicely, I think. So I am going to tie a ribbon on this and call it at 20:57 Central Time. I'd like to thank all the repeater operators and sysops that make the net possible. And I want to thank especially everybody who shows up and makes the net practical. Otherwise, it would just be me sitting here rattling my teeth. So please show up again next week. Jose will be net control next week, and myself or Phil or someone else will be alternate backup net controller. And Phil, thank you so much for your help. But again, thanks to everybody who showed up, and if you can come up with any more topics, anybody's got anything that they'd like to bring to the table, jot it down and bring it. Also, I would remind you that 7 days a week, there's the midday net on Handy Ham. For more information, you can go to www.handyham.org. That's handiham.org or .info. Because I don't have all that information handy with node numbers, etc. But it is the Handy Ham Radio Conference. Break, more to follow. Wanted to make sure I didn't time out. I only timed out once or twice this time. but in any event, you can find out more information about Handy Ham's other nets. But we have 7 days a week. The midday net starts at 11 a.m. Central. And there's a Wednesday night trivia net. There's a Friday night global tech net, they call it, but it's really a global hello net. And this is what we like to lovingly think of as the real TechNet, because we're interested in talking technical. So again, thanks to everybody for showing up, and we had a great time, and it's good to hear from all my old friends. Appreciate your thoughts and wishes. I intend to get back solidly on my feet and stop standing folks up, stand up myself instead. Hi. At this time, I am returning all equipment to its normal operating parameters. 73s to all. Have a great evening. And this concludes the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet.
Yeah, 73s are, Herb, hope you're feeling better. KD0ETQ, I'll be QRT, and 73 to Jose.
KK4JZX, this is, wow, nice. Bada bing. Okay, Herb and Phil, have a good evening. I'll be clearing to, going out to take my dog out in a few minutes. KK4JZX.
Thanks, guys, and I actually do feel better. Like I said, I don't think the doctors know what they're talking about. They punch holes in my lung and tell me I'm supposed to take it easy and not talk so much, and I talk for 2 hours, and I actually feel better than before I started. So, what do they know? Thanks again for everything. Appreciate you guys being there, and everyone have a great evening. I'm going QRT to the couch because I am a little tired. I got to give in a little bit. 73 is it all. QRT to the couch. Well, to the recliner.